Welcome to Love at First Science, the podcast designed to dig deep into neuroscience, the human body, and anatomy. My name is Celeste. I'm a physio and I teach anatomy to yoga teachers. And this podcast is an archive of the lessons I've learned along the way in my attempt to bring a more science-based approach into the yoga world. Hey friends, thanks for tuning in. Just a quick reminder that I don't run any ads, so this podcast can only grow with your support. If you learned something new that you found useful, please do rate and review the podcast. And if you think the content can help someone get out of pain, improve their life, move without injuries, or even just feel more inspired, please share it with them. It would mean the absolute world to me, and you never know, we just might help elevate our community along the way. What a big honor and a privilege to have Meredith Wace, a physical therapist that specializes in working with scoliosis and postural imbalances, here on Love at First Science. This amazingly talented woman is not only a physical therapist, but she's a specialist in a specific scoliosis rehabilitation method called the Schroth method. And this is pretty advanced what she does, and the before and after photos that she shares of her clients are wild. And of course, being a bit of a neuro geek myself, I love talking to her about this stuff because she's also a specialist in vestibular deficiencies and how to rebalance that. And she's quite cool because she doesn't just kind of keep her blinkers on and work within the realm of physical therapy. She's also a yoga teacher. She's a passionate yoga teacher and she loves Pilates and she combines all these different modalities to help her clientele. So let's go and meet this incredible human that I am thrilled to introduce to you. This episode has been broken up into two parts and this is part two.
It's fascinating. So with teenagers and scoliosis, it's, you know, the kids are growing. So it's an acceleration issue. For adults, it's a compressive, you know, because we've been under gravity longer. And so for all, whether teens with or without scoliosis, young adults, middle-aged adults, older adults, before we do any exercise, for myself, for my family, other orthopedic individuals, teaching them how to lengthen up out of their hips without letting the ribs flare. So again, you know, finding the elongation without compensation, and then doing our exercises from that decompressed, lengthened position, automatically, boom, we're going to have more breath. Prana is going to flow. We're going to have a better length tension relationship with all of our muscles so that we will, you know, strengthen more optimally and keep our height throughout our life. So decompression and the elongation is critical. And then it just becomes hopefully a little more natural, especially with all the sitting that we do and we're weight bearing, you know, on the bottom of our spine and sitting, it's even more compressive. And, you know, our posture collapses, the breath gets more shallow if we, you know, collapse a little bit more. But if we can, you know, lift up out of our hips and lengthen and allow that to just become hopefully a more fluid, natural part of who we are, then when we do relax, and we have to relax.
But when
we relax, maybe, and we go too much to one side or the other, we have that awareness like, oh, wait, how did I get all the way over there? And it's these habits, you know, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, that if we can integrate these easy, easy, easy things, then it helps to optimize our health, our movement patterns, and everything that we can do throughout our life. So,
I mean, one of the things I definitely am trying to do with this podcast is give people practical tools that they can walk away with. Yeah. And I feel like you've already given us so many, but what are your like top three things that you wish like everyone was doing?
Drinking more water.
But if you want to recap anything as well, you're so welcome. But are they like, as a physio, you see this all the time, you hear people saying I'm falling apart, whatever it is, you're like, guys, just do this, this, and this, please, at least if you just do that, I'll be so happy.
I do think the hydration can be a big issue with people because, you know, the cartilage in between the vertebrae, you know, it's cartilage, it's fluid filled. And if people aren't hydrating properly, you know, that cartilage shrinks. And when we do drink properly, then the cartilage, which is like a sponge, stays,
absorbs it.
Absorbs it, and it stays, you know, more plump rather than the body having to get hydration from, you know, if we're not properly hydrating, the body will pull that hydration from the discs and then there's more collapse. So if we can stay properly hydrated, then those discs stay more plump. And as those discs stay more plump, we stay a little bit taller. And that can be very, very important, not just for the spine, but all of our other joints and tissues as well. So the hydration, I think, is important. Elongation. So whenever we are doing any exercise, whether it's standing, whether we are lying down, take a moment and make sure that we are in, even if we don't have scoliosis, our best possible three-dimensional alignment. Like when we lie down, I teach my patients, take your hands by your hips and feel your hips by the edges of the mat. And are your hips over more to the right or are they over more to the left? And then bring your hips balanced with your mat, take your arms out. You'll feel, are your arms even or is one side way off the mat? Bring your torso balanced and take your hands on your hips, press down, lift up out of your hips, lift up out of the waist, feel the crown of the head lengthen. And I think that's one of the most important things, because if they bring themselves into that lengthened, elongated position, automatically they're going to feel more breath move into their body. They're going to feel their low back naturally connect onto the mat, which is, I think, one of the most common things we hear yoga, Pilates, fitness teachers say. Like if someone's lying down, they'll say, get your back down, get your back down. And again, well-intentioned. And what they mean is they really, really actually want the lumbar spine to lengthen. But oftentimes, if someone is not lengthened and elongated, if they're lying down and they're in this crumpled, squished position, and they just roll, they do this posterior pelvic tilt, and they get their back down on the mat like the teacher is telling them, like the authority, then they're just taking the spine into more flexion, more compression. They're closing the space, and we're not actually optimizing the length of the diaphragm, the length of the transverse abdominals, everything else. So if we can lie down, elongate, automatically you'll feel the lumbar spine come closer, connect down to the mat. If it doesn't, it's fine. We want to observe and respect the natural sagittal alignment of the body, the natural lumbar lordosis, the natural thoracic kyphosis, the natural lordosis in the neck. But by elongating, then the back will naturally come down and we optimize all those forces. So the hydration, the elongation, understanding when a fitness teacher says, get your back down, how we can do that even better, you know, for us by elongating. And I think the third or fourth, depending upon how you categorize how I answered the last question, if it was a two-part, is becoming sensitive to compensation. For example, if someone's doing a bridge and they don't have enough strength in their glutes to make it happen, then they may substitute by, you know, going into hyperextension in their lumbar spine, or, you know, going into hyperextension in their neck, giving the impression, the illusion that their body is going into more of a bridge and they're, you know, arching more and they're going into more, you know, compression there rather than really activating the glutes. Mm. And so if we can develop this sensitivity and this awareness of, oh, I'm lifting my hips, but my hips are up there by means of substituting, and I'm, you know, going into more extension unnecessarily and my ribs are flaring. How can I soften that, lengthen, and, you know, feel my glutes engage, so I can strengthen where I want to strengthen. So
there is, it is really a process of almost, if you can just be light and lift up out of yourself, that kind of takes care of so much already. And it's interesting because I'm obviously studying neurology and we're looking at how to apply different brain drills, neurodynamics, like neural flossing, vision drills, vestibular drills. And actually one of the first things the neurologist says before we perform absolutely any task is spinal lengthened. Is that the first thing he says every single time? And I'm like, yes, it's so good to hear that that's actually a part of just a really simple cue that we can add in for anything that we're about to teach.
And it supports and it complements everything we do vestibularly. So back in a previous life, when I was a senior PT outpatient at the local hospital here, I developed and ran the balance and vestibular program for 12 years. So I did a lot, and so many vestibular issues are from postural compression. And so if we can lengthen, decompress, you know, then we allow more range of motion for the neck, for the tissues, for the inner ear system. And as we move in a more fluid and full range of motion, we are optimally engaging the vestibular system, you know, the eyes, the ears, the feedback systems, which is part of the whole experience.
Amazing. So, and I really do feel like, you know, a lot of they speak about scoliosis as being idiopathic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the more I'm looking into things like the visual system and the vestibular system, the more it becoming quite clear that actually the proprioceptive system, the shape of the body, is really paying the price for this tug of war between the visual system giving a certain set of information to the brain about moving forward and being level, and the vestibular system, if it has a deficit on one side and your brain is being told that you're turning in a direction all the time and you're going into extension, that kind of is a huge proportion of it. But again, I feel like the conversation in the scoliosis world around vestibular rehab is very limited, and it's quite sad because I feel like it's massively a part of the solution.
It's a huge, huge part. And I think part of the reason why it hasn't gotten a lot of attention is there's been so much focus on the exercise portion of it at the moment. And I think some very critical and underrepresented areas that are in dire need for attention are attention to the vestibular component of it, as well as the importance of the breath and nasal breathing, because so many of the patients with scoliosis, they are primarily mouth breathers. And that's one
Really? That's one fascinating. What?
Not all. So I don't want to upset anybody.
But why? Why would scoliosis and mouth breathing be a possible correlation? Like, what is it?
That's a whole nother podcast for a whole
Okay, well, I'm going to get you back and we're going to chat about this. This is unbelievable.
I've seen it. I've been focusing on detailing like what I've been observing, and my mind has been blown. And I don't believe it's not that the scoliosis causes the mouth breathing. I think And not that the mouth breathing necessarily causes the scoliosis, but I think that there's a strong component,
correlation
to mouth breathing maybe contributing to asymmetrical bone growth. We certainly know that when we are mouth breathing, we are not, let me put it this way, when we are not nasal breathing, we are not stimulating the brain, the pituitary, the hypothalamus, which regulate so many hormones, chemicals, all of that. If we are not nasal breathing, then we're not stimulating those brain structures and those, you know, those hormones. And is there a contribution to asymmetric bone growth as a result of that?
Sorry, Meredith, can you please finish that sentence? Because I think it cut out a little bit. Apologies.
Not sure, but I'm suspicious and I'm curious to investigate that, because I think there's a relationship to that. Anyway.
Absolutely. And you know what I was just going to allude to was, again, chicken and egg, who knows what's what, right? But I'm just thinking, you know, one of the reasons we do tend to mouth breathe is because our airways are more narrow. And I'm just wondering if potentially, obviously we speak about posture not being important, but of course we need to be strong in all postures, guys. I know the chat around posture, but I think optimally, I know for me, when my head is stacked over my shoulders, I can feel I have better diaphragmatic movement, and it's actually easier for me to nasal breathe.
Right, exactly. Because like if the head is forward, you know, not only does it change, you know, the pipes, but also changes the position of the tongue inside of the mouth.
Exactly.
And when that changes, it then changes the shape of the face and, you know, how air can move in. And then it just becomes otherwise this vicious cycle. So
You're literally talking about all the things I'm the most passionate about ever. We've got the core in there, vestibular system, and nasal breathing. I'm literally loving this so much. And of course, the spine. The spine is something I actually, when I teach anatomy, I always start with the spine. Mm-hmm. I find it fascinating. And maybe we can just briefly discuss this concept of the neutral S-curve of the spine, because whilst there is no evidence to support that pain and neutral S-curve are correlated, and that the S-curve looks different for different people, you know, that, and that's great. And we shouldn't be only striving for one perfect posture. Absolutely not. We should get strong in all postural ranges. Why is it, do you think, that the conversation amongst the physios who are working with people day in, day out, they're still like, yeah, but I do get really good results when I get people into a neutral S-curve?
So, okay, wait, rephrase the, clarify the question. Why is the conversation strong,
or? We still get good results with patients, right? When we put a little focus on getting them into good alignment and getting their spine into a neutral S-curve, we get good results. So it's difficult because we haven't really got this body of evidence to support these methods. But then when we actually do get people to just have a little bit more awareness to find their neutral S-curve, I mean, I know for me, I am absolutely not drumming the same beat that I used to about posture being one of the most important things. Absolutely not, guys. I've expanded massively, but I do know when I'm in the gym and I'm going to do a heavy lift, right, I mean, my neutral S-curve does make it more possible to achieve that heavy lift.
Right.
And hey, my loves, real quick, if you are hypermobile, be sure to check out my book, Too Flexible to Feel Good, where my co-author and I share the latest science on how to help a bendy body feel awesome. If you already have the book, please do leave it an Amazon review. It helps more than you could ever know, and it just might help someone else feel a bit more stable in their bodies. The book is called Too Flexible to Feel Good, and you can get it from most online retailers.
Right. And I think that's where it's at, in that the neutral S curve, that neutral alignment, if we can optimize strength, length, dynamic flexibility, and stability in that position, then everything else becomes more accessible when we are in other postures, when we are in, you know, posterior pelvic tilt positions, when we're in anterior pelvic tilt positions, and so forth. So if we can start with that neutral S-curve alignment as the foundation, and we get strong and stable, and we have, you know, that dynamic stability and that dynamic flexibility there, then there's essentially more wiggle room for error when we are outside of that. So I think that's why there's a lot of, you know, focus around that, and we get good results there. And once you've got that as your foundation, then you step outside of those bounds. But I completely agree that life does not just live in a box, in one plane, that we have to practice and function and move in multiple different positions. And that's one of the things I love about this out of the box, crazy way that I do things, how I integrate Shroth and yoga and Pilates is, you know, yes, I'm doing Shroth, but, you know, when a person gets stable and strong there and they know what to feel and they know what to experience in their body, proprioceptively, interoceptively, exteroceptively, all of that, then they are better able to apply that on the reformer, you know, in Pilates things where we're doing things, you know, yes, maybe a neutral spine, but not, you know, as rigid, and we're practicing stepping up and down and doing things in all kinds of fun ways that are both functional and exciting. And same thing on the mat, you know, in yoga, how we take that, what we've learned, and we integrate it into our yoga practice. So they know how to flow and move throughout their yoga practice and emulate the experience in their body. So yeah,
one of the things, just going back to the scoliosis population, is I just shout out to all the people out there with scoliosis, because they have to work so hard.
They do.
And the amount of dedication to be well and to look after themselves is incredibly high from such a young age. So much demand is put on these young people, and they have to really rise to the challenge. And sometimes it's like firefighting. You know, and my heart goes out. My heart really goes out. I think many of us who living in our bodies, we take for granted just having something as basic as a spine that's in a fairly natural alignment.
And what you're speaking to is something I tell my patients so frequently, in that, you know, they may feel frustrated or disappointed. You know, why do I have a scoliosis? Why do I have to work with this? But actually, it almost becomes their superpower, in that they are learning from a very young age, or even an adult, they are learning how to optimize not just their spinal health, but their movement patterns, their movement efficiency. They are less likely to have spinal back issues when they are, you know, later on in life, because they're learning great, great things from a very young age. And it just becomes automatic in how they live and move and do in a great way. So they're not limited at all. They're actually, they have more knowledge, they have more empowerment than those of us, maybe, you know, people, if we don't have a scoliosis, we just take our spine for granted. And then, oh my gosh, I'm 70 and I've got back pain. Now I have to start to do physio.
And you're not used to doing anything. Like my grandma's, she had pelvic floor problems. I'm like, you know, you could easily fix this if we just do a few exercises. I'm not doing exercise. I refuse to do exercise. I was like, okay, grandma. It's so funny. And you know, a phrase that we used in the book, I wrote a book about hypermobility, and the phrase that we used for people with hypermobility is they are the canary in the coal mine. That they are the little, the warning label that actually we should all be paying attention to. We should all be listening to the people with these issues like hypermobility or scoliosis, or I had bad skin from very young, so I had to be super strict with my diet. Sometimes looking to people who have issues for what are they using as solutions can actually help all of us, even if we don't have any issues right now.
Tremendously. It gives us awareness, it gives us understanding, and there's always something within each area that that we all learn from. And it's like, oh, they're applying this approach when doing this to treat XYZ, or they're doing something very similar in doing XYZ. And there's patterns. And if we can step back away from the noise and observe objectively and compassionately, it's very curious and it's very interesting, and there's always so much to be learned, and we learn from each other. So that's the beauty of it.
I mean, your patients are so lucky to have you. I hope they realize how lucky they are, because you are just so special. You're really wonderful, Meredith. Thank you for coming on the show and for obviously explaining so much. I want lots and lots of people to find you. So can you tell people where the best place is to find all of your amazing content? And if they want to work with you, how do they reach out?
So I have my brick and mortar clinical website practice, which is Kyoko Therapy. And then this past year, I've just launched my other website, Physiolutions. So not Physio Solutions, but Physiolutions, which is my online platform for education and neutral spine or scoliosis specific exercise. Because I think one of the really frustrating things is so many people who want to exercise in a neutral spine, there's nothing out there for them. And so I've created this platform where there are yoga classes, there's Shroff-based movement classes, there's Pilates classes, anywhere from 15 minutes and up to 60, where they can, you know, be on that, as well as, you know, like you, educational webinars and so forth, where they can come to learn more. So Kyoko Therapy or Physiolutions. And I'm on Instagram. I need to post more. It's been a busy year, but I'm excited. I have a whole list of so much.
Many ideas. I know. By the way, guys, Meredith is not only someone who runs her own clinic, but she also has a family. So this woman is quite busy. So, you know, like, be patient on the postings, because, but whatever you post is always super valuable. So thank you for sharing your wealth of knowledge. A question I ask all guests at the end of the show is, if you had a message for the world to make the world a better place, it doesn't have anything to do with what we've spoken about, but something you would like to share, what would it be?
Lots of good. Believe in yourself, and know that we believe in you. And you know, such a mantra of mine is love, and love always wins. Love is always the answer. And it almost seems like, okay, so generic, but if we really break it down, everything stems from love. Like, if as a parent and we want our child to do something, it may seem like we're really on them, and there may be a lot of emotion and anger or frustration, but it comes from a place of love because we love them and we want the best for them. If we're hard on ourselves, it's because we love ourselves and we love what we're doing and we want the best. So compassion with ourselves and believe in yourself because we believe in you.
Yeah, and always come from a place of love. I have a good friend of mine, her absolute ethos in life is love, and she's taught me so much. And she's often in my mind, you know, when I'm getting a little bit frustrated with someone or I have a challenge to deal with, I just always come back to that idea of love. And you're so right. It really is the backbone of everything. So thank you for sharing that with us. If there's anything else you want to share with the listeners to close off, or you just want to say goodbye.
We talked about a lot of really great stuff. I'm sure I'll think of 1,000 things right after. But it was so much fun chatting and so many fun topics. And if people have questions, please reach out, ask me, because I learn it just as you've mentioned, patients grateful for me. I am equally as grateful for my patients because I learn as much from them. And the things that I take for granted, in terms of knowing, it's oh, wait, that's a really big question that people have. And that's very important. So
absolutely, guys. And all of you who are listening to this show, we are grateful for you too, because it wouldn't be possible without you. So thank you for your attention. You're so special to us. And thank you, Meredith, for joining me on Love at First Science.
Thanks. It's been great fun.
Thanks for listening, everyone. That was part two. Next week, we'll be welcoming a new guest. Remember, if this episode was helpful at all, please do share, rate, and review.